My guess is there are a few of you out there who've had similar experiences to mine, that is, dropping your kids off at daycare or having a babysitter come to watch the kids while you go do something else. My kids, Chris and Andy, are 39 and 36 now, respectively, and they've changed a lot since they were the toddlers that I dropped off at kindergarten on my way to the office. They've changed. Me, not so much. I expect you understand this, too. Back then, when I dropped them off, they were little, and they'd cry a little when Dad deserted them and got into the car and drove away. I usually would wait till I got back to the car to cry myself. It's a little difficult to watch your kids' teary little faces as they think you've abandoned them at daycare. And then, of course, I'd try to remind myself that virtually every day when I went to pick them up again, they would also cry because they didn't want me to pick them up. They were having fun with their friends. But they learned object permanence, that just because I drove away didn't mean that I was no longer there or that I had actually abandoned or deserted them. So it was good for them to understand that. My kids got over that because they got through that stage of psychological development, object permanence. And it's a good thing because if you don't learn object permanence, then it's really hard to understand the time and space relationships. So it's vital. And then as we get older, life and death gets a little more complicated. And the learning continues, and we learn that there is object permanence, but it's not an immutable law. People do go away, relationships break apart, kingdoms and empires end, nation states fall. If we are wise, we learn object permanence when we're infants, but we learn object impermanence as we mature. No matter which side of the political spectrum you're on, my guess is you've wondered, particularly over the last months or years, will this democracy last? That's the question that has been asked by pundits anyway. Will it survive? As long as the Constitution stands, as long as the temple stands, we're okay. Francis Scott Key, September 1814. As the sun rose, when Fort McHenry was being attacked, the sun rose in the morning and he penned what became a national anthem because he was thinking that object permanence, as long as the sun rose and that star-spangled banner yet waved, that things were okay. The republic for which it stands was going to last. By the time Jesus is speaking to his disciples in today's gospel lesson, the Romans had occupied Jerusalem for generations. And the people of Israel still hoped for a Messiah who would kick the Romans out and return Israel to its glory. And as long as that beautiful temple that Herod the Great built, as long as that temple was standing, they had hope in object permanence, the kingdom of God in Israel. The temple was an architectural and engineering and artistic phenomenon. Well, by the time this is being written down, somewhere a little after 70 in the Common Era, the temple and Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Romans, and many had given up hope. Near the end of Luke's Gospel, you probably remember the story. It's Easter evening, and two of Jesus' disciples are trudging home to Emmaus, talking about the things that had gone on during Holy Week. and a stranger, they don't recognize him, joins them and asks them what they're talking about. And they say, "Are you the only one in Israel who doesn't know?" And they begin to tell him about the crucifixion of, as they put it, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." As long as Jesus was alive, they had hoped that he would come as the Messiah and conquer the Romans, restore glory to the temple, restore Israel to the kingdom of God. But we had hoped. As long as the temple was standing, they had hope. As long as Jesus was alive, they had hope. I don't want to get too close to home here, or too political, or too personal, but I'll ask you, because I'm asking myself, where have you placed your hope? Where have you said, as long as this is true, everything's going to be okay? For example, where faith is in the search for a new called permanent or impermanent pastor, a new called pastor. So the call committee is interviewing candidates. We had a couple more interviews this week, and, well, I know way too many pastors who go on interviews, and I know way too many congregations who say, if only we get the right pastor, and pastors say, if only I get the right congregation, things will be perfect. Yeah, not so much. Way too many churches have thought that and then called me. We know better. Tuesday, voters hoped that the election would bring a sense of normalcy. That, for one thing, the ads would be over. That would be a great gift. But apparently the election continues for days and weeks. And it's not fixed. But as long as the Constitution holds, we're okay. We have faith in institutions, in traditions. Personally, relationally, as long as we're together, things will be fine. As long as we own this house together, we'll be fine. As long as I have this job, we'll be fine. As long as my health holds, we put our trust in things that we hope would be permanent, and they're not. And if we're wise, we know it's all magical thinking, to think that I can control the future by the decisions I make now. Yeah, often you can have some influence. But we found out 2.5 years ago that no matter what, the future is unpredictable. It gets chaotic. If I do the right thing, I can make it work in the future. Maybe, maybe not. Object impermanence feels like a threat, but it's really the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is forever. Not the things you've been stuck in, not our bondage to sin, our addiction to whatever, our activities or substances or favorite things are. Nothing is forever, not our institutions or our relationships or pastors or churches. After all, the Roman Empire ended, and so did the temple. But Judaism survived and thrived. Even the one they had hoped would redeem Israel went away. It was no wonder they had questions and worries. They had their hopes pinned on a predictable future. None of it made sense. It didn't even make sense when that last stone fell over, the one on Easter morning that got rolled away, and they found out that even death is not permanent. We've had a few big days in the last week. I was reminded when I was talking to somebody earlier this morning. Obviously, Election Day, Veterans Day, Marine Corps birthday. But the real big one, of course, was Thursday, the 539th anniversary of Martin Luther's birthday. You didn't have a big party? Yeah, me neither. But we are a Lutheran congregation, and so it probably bears bringing up his name occasionally. Luther talked about the freedom of the gospel, and that because of, if you will, object impermanence, we are no longer in bondage and under threat by fear and death. Things are different. Things have changed. That's why he said, sin boldly. The context was, essentially, Luther said, God gave you a head so that you'd use it to think through decisions and make the best one you can. And if it later turns out that it was a bad one, you call it a bold sin and go on. Because even the decisions you make are not permanent. We're free. Thanks be to God.